So, Trevor.
Yo.
I didn't commit to doing it, but I definitely left the door open. We had a meme the other night, and I think it bothered Aaron that I considered 600 billion, was it? 600 billion for sleeping one time with the same gender. Yeah. 600 billion.
600 billion.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Billion.
Billion.
Try nine.
See, like, I would do it for less. I have done it for less. You guys gonna say
you've done it for free? You might have paid. I, you know what? I'm. I'd really have to think about $5,000. Sorry if that makes you uncomfortable, Aaron.
Oh, no, hey, I'm not paying you $5,000.
You don't have $5,000. Yeah, <I'll wait. laughs> All right, you guys want to start a podcast?
Let's start a podcast.
Let's do this.
All right.
More feeling, buddy. Yeah. Friday night, I just got off work. My boss man is such a jerk. So after work, I went to his house. I ate his wife's pussy and kicked his ass. Pussy, kicking ass.
Eating pussy, kicking ass.
This might be my new theme song.
Kicking ass.
Eating pussy, kicking ass.
That's what I do.
Welcome to the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. I hope you like our new intro song. That is Wheeler Walker Jr. and. I'm not a big country fan, but I do like this guy. I've been rocking him for days. Please check us out on Facebook, SoundCloud, I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, Stitcher. Download the Stitcher app. Check out I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, and then you can listen to it on your phone, you can listen to it in your car, or you can listen to it on our website, ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com, and send us Gmail at ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. And today, we have No Jeff. Jeff, I told him he wasn't allowed on. Yeah, boo. Because every time I talk to people about the podcast, they always tell me how funny Jeff is. So Jeff's not going to be on for a little while. I don't really like him stealing my spotlight. So fuck you, Jeff. And today we've got, if you're a listener, you already know intern Brad.
Hey.
We've got Jessica.
Woohoo.
We've got some studio audience. We don't have permission to use his name. Hey. And yeah, thanks for coming in another week. We've finally shaken off the freaking holiday. You know how hard it is to run a podcast. I'm pre-recording the episodes next year.
Yeah, no doubt, because I couldn't do anything during the holidays, and no. I didn't have half the shit going on you did.
Yeah, because I got the family. We hosted Christmas this year. Got the turkey that was That's raised on the property. Yeah, yeah.
I just started sweating a little thinking about hosting Christmas. And yeah.
It's Pot great, kitchens. Though. I love doing that shit. I mean, making Michelle do all the work, and I just, I drink.
You sit back with your rum and eggnog and just watch her do all the work and get tired, so you take a nap.
You know, I can crush rum and eggnogs, and that's a thick, creamy fucking drink, yeah. But I can crush those all day. Thanks for coming. How's your New Year's been, guys?
Been good.
So far so good.
We touched base with you, Brad, already. Yep. Jessica, it's been a minute since you've been on the show. Life mm-hmm. good.
Yep.
Life good.
Life's
yep.
good.
Yep.
Things are good. I yeah, any listeners know I've been here before.
Yeah.
This isn't
yeah.
my first rodeo.
Listen to there's got to be a half a dozen episodes she's on there. The good ones actually. A lot of the good ones. One of my favorites, Dick Poisoning.
Dick Poisoning was a good one.
Oh, yeah, like cold.
Episode 7, episode 8.
It's funny too, because I was actually just telling you before the show that I started catching up on episodes, right? And I listened to the one where Warwick was here, and you guys were talking about the psychopath test, and Jeff happened to mention that I am a psychopath.
Yeah.
And all I could think
right.
wasn't like, I know I'm not. It was, oh, he remembered, because we did that test together. And yeah, it turns out that test says that I'm a psychopath. Like, not just 50%, but like 100%. And I'm like, well, that ain't right.
So the only part that you remember is the part we talked about you.
No, I remember a bunch of
it. Which proves you're a psychopath.
But Warwick's not here to defend himself, so I won't talk about him. And Jeff's not here to defend himself, so I can't talk about him. Let's talk about you.
I'll talk shit about Jeff, but yeah. Yeah, you know what? I do the editing. You say whatever you want about me.
True story.
You know what? I really actually liked work. Had some I learned some shit about him that I did not know.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's why I was so interested in that particular episode. I'm like, holy shit, I didn't know that about work. He's always like, and he actually talked more on this show than I've ever heard him talk.
Yeah, he's ever. Pretty quiet.
He kept his story. He's like, yeah, so what about this story here? It says you were in a mental institute. He's like, yeah, I was in a mental institute when I was 16. I'm a schizophrenic. I'm like, and like, well? And then I had to, when I asked him, I'm like, did you meet a girl? Because he's 16. I'm like, did you meet any girls? Yeah. Oh yeah, my first girlfriend. Like getting stories out. He's got gold in there.
Oh, I know.
But he's not a big talker.
Yeah.
Right. He's a good guy. Struggling with some demons, but doing all right.
Well, let's just say that this show helped him open up a little bit more. I think we cracked that shell just a bit. Well, you did anyway. I wasn't here, but I'm going to give myself credit anyway because I'm a psychopath and it means I have narcissistic tendencies. So congratulations
right.
to me for helping out.
What other episodes did you listen to? Do you remember any of the other episodes you listened to?
I was listening to the one with Reese, actually. Oh. And that guy is gold. He is so funny. Except that's the one where I was like, I'd been listening to a few episodes and laying on the couch doing absolutely nothing else. So I fell asleep. And then when I woke up and realized it was still going and I'd missed a bunch of it, I was really disappointed, so I tried to go back, but on the phone, that little 1 hour bar is so hard to judge, so I went back way too far, and then not far enough, and I'm like, ah, fuck it, I give up.
He made a list, and I misread it, and there's like, we did like a third of his stories. That guy could do like, the list he gave me, I kept it, because there's two more episodes there.
Oh yeah, no, that guy's a riot.
I like Reese, and
so like, yeah, listeners out there, if you want to listen to some episodes, the recent work episodes are good ones. Oh, and also all the ones I'm on because I'm amazing.
You can skip the last two episodes because they were sort of, they were pretty shoddy. But hey, you know what? I care about the fans. I care about committing to every Friday and putting it out. So at least I did something. It's better than nothing. Take it or leave it, fans. Youngins. I'm calling our fans youngins.
Right. It's like a hand youngins. Job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could. It's better than nothing.
Right.
Yeah,
sometimes right? It's not.
Nah, you know what? I think good old fashioned is a kind of a nice mix up, right?
It's a little handy.
Yeah. Anyways, any New Year's resolutions? I got the sobriety thing going on. We talked about that last episode. I'm doing a month, no smoking the weeds, no drinking the booze, no.
Yeah, I don't really do resolutions.
No. Nope. Hey. It's an excuse. I do Lent sometimes.
Yeah.
Even though like it's a Catholic thing. You spend 40 days like give up one thing.
Yeah.
Just as an exercise of self-control. Brad?
It's a good idea.
Are you already perfect? You're just going to keep.
Oh, I'm far from perfect.
But, I guess you could call it a resolution, but like it actually happened before the new year. It was like in November that I decided to start eating breakfast. That's a thing.
Yep. Hey, yeah.
Because every day I would just show up at work with my coffee and then starve until lunchtime. And it made me really angry. So like by like 9 o'clock, cause I get to work at 7, lunch is at 11 and somewhere around 9:30, I'm so angry and hungry that I like hangry that I want to strangle everyone in my sight. So I'm like, okay, I really need to do something about this. What could I do? I don't know. Eat breakfast. Yeah. That's
what's your go-to breakfast? Or do you just whatever?
Yogurt and berries or oatmeal.
Ah, that's good stuff.
I love oatmeal.
Yeah.
Good oatmeal, yogurt and berries, a piece of fruit. You know McDonald's. You can get a oatmeal from McDonald's.
Yeah.
And it's full of fruit and like raisins and shit.
Really?
And they put the sugar on the side. And you don't really need it, so I try to have the oatmeal without the sugar.
Yeah.
That's my go-to breakfast.
Look at us being healthy grown-ups doing healthy grown-up things.
Except Joe Rogan just told me, now I've got to be doing intermittent fasting to help lose weight. So now my whole life I've been told eat breakfast, keep your metabolism going. It's good for you. Now they're saying go like 14 to 16 hours without eating.
What?
Why was doing that before. Now I can't go back.
But see, like, doesn't sleeping count as fasting? Because you're not eating when you're sleeping.
Some degree.
And I mean, if you just sleep for 12 hours, you're set, right?
There you go.
I
like the way your
you
brain
sleep
works.
For 12 hours?
Sometimes.
I sleep for like 6.
No, I actually can't. Lately, it's been like fall asleep at 7, wake up at 3 in the morning and not be able to get back to sleep. So I'm trying to like actually tonight push my sleepy limits and stay awake a little bit longer.
Yeah, you might be here till like 10.
Oh my God. Then I'll be able to sleep till 6. Yeah.
Yeah. This episode, I thought we'd do a fun theme and share stories about jobs, shitty jobs, because those are funnier to hear about than the good jobs. Nobody wants to hear that you had like a really good summer job one time. Unless something funny happened, it's not interesting. We've all had shitty jobs, younger people.
Yeah, and no, like nothing about being fulfilled and loving your job, because no one wants to hear that.
Actually, you know what?
Are you kidding? Look around. We're safe.
I say that, but the one I put down, the one that first came to mind, was working at Burger King. And I did that from like 16 to like 19. I liked working there. And it was the third worst Burger King in the lower mainland.
And you were proud of it.
And it became the second worst after they closed the worst one down. I went in there to apply. I'm just applying. I'm like, Burger King, okay. This one looks really hard to get into. There's a McDonald's down the street. Nobody's coming here. Go apply. A guy comes up to me and goes, okay, so you're interested in a job? Really? I don't know how to say this, but you pretty much have the job. Like, he hasn't read my resume. You pretty much have the job because you're male. And I, what? Like, this is some blatant sexism you got going here. He goes, no, the previous management only hired young, attractive young women, and we need to put some men on staff. And then I looked around and went, yeah, this is all
I can do. Yeah. This.
You know what? When can I start? Actually, met my wife there and a few other girls.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you guys got any shitty jobs you had when you were younger?
Yeah, I've got one. I was a first aid attendant on a work site, a construction work site. And it got messy one day. It was a cold morning, and Buddy was up pulling the tarps off of basically the rooftop that we were working on. So he's pulling the tarps down, and he misstepped and stepped backwards, which was a little 45 degree rooftop, and just slipped right off. And when he came down, he landed on scaffolding down below. And
so he came off like a slide. Like, yeah, he's coming like down the roof. Like, I've seen that back on cartoons. Looks fun.
Yeah. Except for this guy landed on scaffolding, and the 2-inch scaffolding pipe went right through his thigh. So he's hanging there.
Like a really big syringe.
Yeah. So he's hanging there. Like,
through? Like right through?
Yeah,
the...
right through. Yeah. Ooh. No, it was legit. Like, serious.
So he slides down.
Of course,
down,
I'm first aid. I'm second first aid, in all fairness. I only had a level 2, and we had a
level 1. Level 2 is pretty up there, though.
Yeah,
level 3 is a bigger one. Level 1 is...
Either way, 1. Or no, no,
yeah,
you're
no,
right.
Level 3 is...
Because I've had level 1.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
See, and I seem to remember when you told me this story before, a long time ago, that you weren't supposed to be in charge that day, and you had been taking over for somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so I...
Wait, how old were you at this time?
I was... I don't know. 18, 19. Right around there. I was just a young kid. I got a raise because I went and did my first aid.
That's why you do it. It's $1 more an hour or something, right?
About $1 an hour more. And it's like, you want to do this? Yeah, sure. I'll go do that.
And they just need as a technicality,
it got
right?
Pretty like... fucking legit. The first aid, the Carl, the main first aid guy, actually, he was a little S on his chest for sure, because he whips his belt off, like just old maneuvers, right?
Oh,
tourniquet, right? Yeah. Yep, pulls right up on his thigh, and he's holding him, and so Carl's got this guy up on his shoulder, and he's holding him there, and so the ambulance shows up, fire shows up, and we're trying to figure out how the hell to get him off now, because he's 4 feet down this pipe, or 3 feet type idea.
So it's gone through, and it's gone down a few feet.
Yeah, he's pulling.
And is he hanging off the scaffolding, or is he laying on like supported?
Carl's right there on the walkway.
Fuck.
And so this guy's on Carl, who's holding.
And sorry,
him
where
up
did it go through again?
His thigh.
Leg? Thigh. Yeah. Oh, Jesus
that
Christ.
That was his right thigh.
Right through the meaty part.
Yeah. It was grim. So the worst part about it was when fire showed up, we're talking about it, and so we ended up.
Into the microphone.
Yeah, we like those. There you go. Thank you.
I can't open my tea into the fucking microphone. Go on, go on.
Yeah, so, then it got a little grim, because the only way we could figure out how to get him off was sawzalling through the pipe. And so,
So it's vibrating.
That's what happened. They went Jesus up there. Christ. They held him up as best as they could. Two guys held him up, and a third guy just.
Oh God!
Are you watching? Are you sawing? What
I'm
are you
watching?
Doing?
No, I was. By then, I was out of it. Yeah. But yeah, I was on the ground. I got the rest of the day off. Carl and I both were fucking covered in blood, and yeah, no.
So did the guy pass out from the pain, or?
He was there, but not there.
In shock.
Like, yeah, he was just kind of like delusional. Honestly, no yelling. Oddly, like grunting, but yeah, just not.
I would assume like just his mind just checked out.
Yeah. No, you have to, or you go insane.
Definitely just not there.
Because like, my old man, he lost his arm in a machine accident at work. Maybe one day I'll tell that story. I won't get into it, but he said he was stuck in a machine for some time.
Yeah.
And I said that must have been like excruciating because he's getting burned at the same time as he's being stuck in this machine. He's like, not really. You're in shock, and it's
interesting side note on shock. Do you know that shock is still not explained and we can't understand it? It's the human off button. When I took my level 2, they actually explained it in the story. They said this, he's a paramedic that teaches the class, and he's telling us the story of this man who slipped and fell. Mid-50s man, slipped, fell, blew out his knee. No big deal. They're responding. Everything's calm. Everything's good. They're loading him up into the ambulance. And wifey flies into the driveway, starts raising holy hell, scared, crying, way drama, yaya, yaddy. The guy slipped into shock and died.
Wow.
Straight up. And he's like, there was no reason for it.
Hmm.
None
that's
whatsoever.
Messed up.
But the body does just decide to turn off. And that's how bad shock can get. And the doctors still don't have a true grasp of
like
why.
Understanding it's just a mechanism, I guess.
It's like SIDS, right?
But I actually know a guy who got hit by a car when he was a child. So he was probably like 7, 8 years old. And he got hit by a car, not moving quickly or anything like that. And he wasn't really gravely injured. But he went into shock and lost all his hair and never grew it back.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. He never grew hair again. He's got little teeny bits of hair. Some places, like on his head, he'll get the odd little hair.
Like
alopecia? But he's completely one. Yeah. He went completely bald. He has no eyelashes, no eyebrows, no hair on his head, no hair on his whole body.
Pubes?
Just body hair, just went.
I can say for sure that he does not have pubes. So, yeah, no, like it can do some fucked up things to people because he was so young and they couldn't explain that either. Just that all his hair fell out.
And
it never came back.
You know, if that's all that happens, I guess it's like it's just hair.
Yeah.
You know what? This you guys you can see this little scar. Okay, listeners, can you see the little scar on my arm here? Little inch long scar.
See a scar. It looks like a large sperm.
It does look like a large sperm. This is maybe an inch and a half scar. I got this at work. I walked by some expanded metal. End of the day. You want to get hurt at work? Beginning of shift. Not the end of the day.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just walked by. I had cut the sleeves off my shirt because it was so hot in there. And they put like expanded metal on a pallet on a basket. So it's like that height. And as I walk by, it catches me. Now, this stuff is so fucking sharp. It snagged me. It stopped me in my tracks. And I thought it was my shirt. I didn't look at where it had caught me. And I just kind of like shook it off and then went up, clocked out. And one of my managers was there. And this is a metal workshop. And he goes, Trevor, I'm like 22. He's like, Trevor, I want you to have a seat right here, please. And I'm like, nah, I'm not falling for that shit. I don't know what you're up to, but I'm not. He's like, Trevor, I would like you to sit down here. I'm like, and now I'm like, I don't want to. I clocked out. Like, what? He's like, sit down. I sit down. He goes, look at your arm. And I look at my arm, and it's that like yellow fat is popping out. Like you could see into my arm. This isn't a big, it's a thick scar, but it wasn't a big one.
Yeah.
And it was split me right fucking open.
Oh God!
And as soon as I looked at it, I felt it. Yeah. Before that, I was like walking around, like making jokes, and then you could see where I'd walk from blood trailing all the way over to the. And so then I went and like spent like 4 hours in the hospital. Ooh. This little cut had something like 25 stitches because they have to stitch. Then they do another row of stitches because they're stitching the inside out.
Yeah,
Dr. Trevor actually was worked on it. Yeah, Dr. Trevor. I always remember that guy.
Good work.
And then my. Boss
well, you've seen the scar, right? So not great work. Yeah.
Well, I didn't take very good care of it. It split open a little bit. My boss picks me up and drives me back from the hospital. He's like, okay, well, I'll give you a ride home. And I've rolled your scooter, because at the time I drove a scooter. I rolled your scooter into the shop, so I guess you're probably going to take a couple days off. And I said, yeah, I can drive my scooter, man. He's like, your arm's in a sling. I'm like, yeah, I know you only need one arm to drive it. My dad drove the scooter. I can drive the scooter. And he's like, I can drive you. I'm like, no, I don't want to have to come back. I don't want to get a ride. So he drives me, and I was staying with my parents. I think I was saving up to buy the apartment. I'd moved back, so I must have been 24. Anyways, he drives me back to work, and now I'm stoked because I've got the rest of the week off, right? So I go in, I take a bath because I can't take a shower like this, and I guess the hospital had called my parents because they're my emergency contact number, and they went to the hospital, and then I wasn't there, and then they came back home, and I've put a jacket on, but my arms like they've strapped it to my body. And I've got a helmet, and I'm walking out to my scooter because I'm going to go get drunk with Chris, previous guest. And I'm going to go drinking.
Because what the audience can't see is that it's right in, like, your elbow pit.
Yeah.
So it's a spot that's not going to stay closed if you aren't careful.
Yeah. So they pretty much just strapped it to my body so that it wouldn't move because it'll split open, which it did. And then my mom, hi, Mom. She runs out. She's like, What are you doing? I got a little cut on my arm. They said you had like 25 stitches. I'm good. You sit down. You sit down. I'm like, Mom, I'm going out. I'm probably not coming home tonight. And that was fun.
That is funny. The only time I've ever had to do first aid at work is actually at my current job. And I've never really had to use my first aid for anything serious. It's like, can I get a Band-Aid out of the first aid room? And I have a key. So like,
Record it.
Yeah, you got to report everything. Yeah. So I've made some notes, but that's about it. And then the only time I've ever actually had to do anything that really grossed me out was one of the guys, mechanic, I guess he had lifted something like a pallet, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he came to me. He's like, I need your help. And he's kind of holding his arm. He's like, I need your help getting out a splinter. I'm like, okay, no problem. Let's go to the first aid room. There's some tweezers or whatever, right?
Splinters.
Tweezers is what I thought I needed. So we go to the first aid room. He sits down. He takes his hand off his arm, and he's got like a 2-inch giant piece of wood stuck in his arm. I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, okay, get it out. So this thing has gone. So in his forearm on the upper
long
side,
ways in.
It's gone in, out, and then back in again.
Oh.
So it actually like weaved its way in and out. And so the pointy end, you know, the end, I need to like pull it because you got to push it out the right way with the grain, right? Because that way it's going to come out and not leave bits of wood in there. That end is inside. And then there's the big end on the outside. I couldn't pull it the wrong way. No. Couldn't. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, well, I can't push it through your skin and cause more damage. And he's like, I'm sitting there with these tweezers, and I'm like, I go out into the shop. I'm like, does anyone have pliers? I need
clean pliers.
So I took some pliers and cleaned them off and then grabbed it from the other end. He's just like, just pull the fucking thing out. I got to get back to work. I'm like, okay, fuck. So I pulled,
what a man.
I pulled this thing backwards until the opening in the middle was where the pointy end was, and then pushed it the rest of the way through. And the thing just immediately started gushing blood everywhere. I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh God. And I'm like, this is why I don't do first aid, right? So I'm like, okay, great. He grabs a piece of paper towel. He's like, all right, grab me a Band-Aid. I'm getting back out of here. And I'm like, no, we got to like make a report. Whatever. He's like, ah, fuck, whatever. And just gets up and walks away.
What number was that?
124, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
The grumpy old British man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We all love him.
Well, yeah. He's a fucking badass.
Oh, yeah. He didn't even wince. He was just like, come on, let's do this. I'm like, I can't do it. And he's like, God, give me those. I'll do it myself. I'm like, no, you're not allowed. You don't have first aid. See, I do. I'm trained.
Yeah. Look at me go.
Yeah.
So we all have first aid here.
Yeah.
Well, mine's expired.
Mine's expired too, actually.
Renewed. The only one who doesn't work around tools, I have my first aid.
There you go.
Paper cuts. That's what I deal with. Oh, yeah. When I worked in the metal workshop, the most common thing I had to do was people would come to me if they had something in their eye they couldn't get out.
Oh.
So I got to take the Q-tip and like fucking
poke at it.
Oh, that's like, I put in contacts and stuff for years, but that.
Don't they have eyewash stations?
Yeah, but they, I mean, by the time they've come to me, it's not coming out. Because sometimes you're deburring stuff, so the metal's like twisty.
Oh,
so it'll
yeah.
sometimes catch and not rinse out. It needs a little help.
Yeah.
I've actually had that. Yeah, I've had my eye scraped twice over my years as a mechanic, and it's not pleasant. But I will tell you this. So I go for an MRI when I blew up my disc, my back. And so I'm going for the MRI, and the doctor's talking to me. He's like, oh, you're a mechanic. He's like, have you ever had your eyes scraped? I said, yeah, twice and whatever. And he says, well, just to let you know, the MRI is a big magnet. So if there's anything left in there, it's coming out.
So just, I have no way of knowing this. I just have to warn you that it's a big magnet coming around your head. If there
Hang
is
on
metal
tight.
Left in there, it's coming out. And so, yeah, no, I'm in there. I'm just like thinking like, holy, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Nothing happened, which was great.
Oh, thank
great,
God.
Because
can you imagine a little piece of metal coming tearing out of your eyeball? Pink.
Did you hold your eyes open? Because I'm afraid of it going through my eyelid now.
I kept them open. I definitely, I'm like,
Yeah, because I guess when you get like, because Jay had this, my significant other, he'd been working on some rusted old piece of crap. And as he's prying at something, a bunch of what he thought was just dirt fell into his eye. So he's, you know, rubbing it away like you do. He just kind of, okay, we're good. And then he comes home, but it's still bugging him. So he's just like prying at it and like poking at it. Because
something this small feels like this big.
Yeah, he's rubbing his eyes. But he's doing this for like a day, like a couple days even. And I'm like, you need to go to a doctor and get them to look at it, right? He's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. His eye's blood red and it looks like crap and he keeps rubbing it. And finally, he decides to go to the emergency room, get it looked at.
Because
it's starting to hurt him too much, right? And he's starting to get blurred vision. So he goes to the doctor. He finds out that there's actually a chunk of metal stuck in there that's rusted. Ooh. So what they do is they take a little Dremel tool.
Yep.
They numb your eyeball and then they Dremel the little piece of metal out of there. So they actually bore a little hole in there to get the piece of metal out. So he had that done. And they gave him these numbing drops, right? And then send him home. And so he had to go do that twice. And in that time, he actually lost, because they gave the tiny little tubes of numbing drops. One day I'm at work and, you know, working nights or whatever. And he texts me and phones me frantically, like, I lost the fucking numbing drops and I can't see shit. So I can't find them. And I'm like, and he's losing his mind. I'm like, okay, well, when I get off work at midnight, I had to get off work, go all the way back to the hospital, get him more numbing drops and come home and give them to him. Because otherwise he couldn't see, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't do anything because his eye hurt so goddamn
bad.
Well,
it's so sensitive, man.
Yeah.
This podcast just went off the rails and became super awkward about people getting hurt.
Right?
But we've all got a story about seeing something awful or...
Oh, yeah.
All the eyeball shit made me think about the laser eye surgery, but I'm going to save that story for another time because that's a fun story to tell. You know what? I've worked with both of you at different occasions, but... You only worked with for a minute. We never worked on shift together. You worked at Chevron. And I worked... Do you remember I worked at Chevron?
I forgot that you worked at Chevron.
Do you remember?
I actually completely forgot because it was actually before I started working there, wasn't it?
No, it was...
No, that's right.
You worked there. There was a guy you were dating. Generic name. I could probably say it, right?
Yeah.
Mike, he was a manager.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to get a job doing like night shift because I had like... my regular job and I wanted a night shift job because I don't sleep much anyways. I'm like, I can make some extra money, do the night shift, sit behind a counter. Like I hung out with you doing nothing for hours. So I know I can do this job.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't sitting behind the counter doing nothing. It was was it once a week cleaning up the lot and the pumps and everything like that? Something like that.
Yeah. That's right. You were lot cleanup guy.
That was a one shift and I left an hour early. Like it was a 4 hour shift and I'm like, I'm done after three. I'm going home. That was it.
Oh, that's funny. I think I vaguely remember that now. And I'm pretty sure they were really pissed because I'm just like, oh yeah, Trevor's a good guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I gave you such a shining recommendation. But it didn't matter because I was banging the guy that was the manager. So.
Yeah. You had that worked out.
You had all the power.
That's not the job I signed up for, though. They're like, yeah, you can come in. We'll train you on whatever. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, it'll be like once a week. I'm like, oh, whatever. I guess I'll do once a week. That's fine. I'm just sitting behind a counter, like reading a book.
Yeah.
Nope. They want it. I did more work in those 3 hours than I ever saw you do in the hours I used to hang out with you in there drinking Slurpees.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely... didn't do a lot, but that was actually when I worked night shifts there. I didn't do a lot except steal lighters and, you know, eat whatever I wanted and be really rude to customers and have no repercussions.
You were untouchable there.
Oh, I know. It was a pretty cushy gig, but I was working mostly night shifts then, and it wasn't until the actual manager quit, but he only taught me how to do his job because I had sex with him.
Banging him.
Of course, he gives me his job, and then I became the manager there after that. So I literally slept my way to the top there. But
you slept your way to the middle. It's
not the middle. No. The top of that particular Chevron, because really nowhere else in the universe. But then I was the manager, and it was actually my job to be there early in the morning and take care of all.
Then it was work.
Everything. Then I actually had to work. I just had to like stock the store and count all the money and make the deposits and make sure all the idiots that worked for us were doing what they were supposed to, which they never did. So it became actual work eventually.
Yeah.
And there was actually one day where I'd shown up and I'd gone into the back to, you know, get started on the day, you know, get the money from the safe, go in the back, go open the stock room and all this stuff, and kind of walk to the back, unlock the stock room, go into the thing, drop the money, and then go back to go into the, like, look in the stock room door, and I saw there's like a ladder that's not usually set up. It's usually like a ladder on the side.
It's your ladder though, right?
Yeah, it's like, our ladder, but it's set up. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Maybe they had someone doing work here or something. And I kind of looked, like, pushed the door open a little further, and there's some crap like laying around, like random weird stuff, like a pop bottle open and a bit of a mess. And then I looked in the back where the cigarettes are. This is where we keep like like easily 100 cartons of cigarettes to stock the shelves with. And they're gone. All of them are fucking gone. And there's just scraps left of where they used to be. And I looked in the ceiling panel where the ladder is set up. And I'm like, we got fucking robbed. We just, how the fuck did this happen? So I go to the guy that's in the front who was there on the graveyard shift. I'm like, did you hear anything last night? He's like, nope. Like, could you have heard anything over your fucking DVD player?
So he's in there, and this is the back room.
Yeah, so the back room is pretty far from the front counter, but if he had been paying any attention at all, he probably would have heard something. So then, as I'm standing up front, trying to figure out how the fuck somebody got into the back room through the ceiling, lady comes in and says, oh, your bathroom door, like, the key's jammed, it won't open. I'm like, okay, so the bathroom in this place is one of those gas station bathrooms that's around the corner, the back of the building, right? And so I go back to check, and sure enough, someone's jammed something into the lock in the bathroom door. I'm like, oh, okay. So call somebody to come over and get the bathroom door open. When we got the bathroom door open, somebody had torn down the entire ceiling of the bathroom, crawled up into the ceiling, up through into the back room.
Wow.
Crawled into the back room, stole all the cigarettes.
The balls. Back up,
because we're talking like easily 100 or 200 cartons of cigarettes that they hauled up into the ceiling, back through the ceiling, down through the bathroom, and into a car or whatever. And they must have done this several times. So like,
that's a legit little heist,
right? There's like some Mission Impossible shit. And like, and this kid sitting in the front who's completely useless, probably had headphones on all night and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Didn't hear anything. Didn't see anything.
But in fairness, he did that every night and they didn't get robbed,
that's
right?
That's true. That's true. So when I told him that we'd been robbed, he's like, no, I wasn't robbed. I'm like, no, you were though.
Yeah. You just missed it.
Yeah. So when we were going through like the wreckage the next day, I kept finding like is in the mess, right? They tore down that whole ceiling. I kept finding packs of cigarettes kind of laying on the ground underneath all the ceiling panel broken pieces. I just pocketed all those. I'm like, well, we're getting insurance money for these anyways.
Just start loading up.
Yeah. And then I actually found out, because they put out a notice to all the businesses in the area, that this had actually happened to three other places.
Wow.
Where
same heist?
Same idea, right? Huh. Where they had gotten in through the ceiling somehow. So like when the place was closed or whatever, the same thing happened at the A&W for some reason, I guess for cash or the safe, I don't know. But they'd tried it at a bunch of other places. And one place that they actually caught them doing it, but they got away.
Yeah.
So...
there's no money at A&W.
Yeah, no. Burgers.
Go in there and
teen
steal
burgers,
some,
man. I'm going to steal some teen burgers.
Go into the freezer, steal yourself a bag of chubby chicken, because that shit's delicious.
Yeah. Now that's worth some money.
Oh, yeah.
Brad, do you remember working at, I guess we won't talk about it, a painting company.
Yeah.
We won't name the company, but we worked at a painting company when we were teenagers.
Yeah.
I know our studio audience knows.
Yeah,
he's been there.
Worked there, too.
Now, what a fucking shit show. Working for a... for a painting company that went into offices and shit after they were closed. So you worked like 9 p.m. to like 5 a.m. Just like solid sanding down cap. And like we did the shit work. Yeah. Brad moved up. And I just worked like weekends. Brad was actually got to do some of the painting and stuff. But the lacquer that they use, you drop a bit of that on the carpet. It just melts, and we're just huffing on this shit as we're cleaning it off.
Oh, your high is kites.
You have no, you don't even know until you start sobering up how high you were.
So did you have to wear masks or anything?
They didn't have any masks or anything
back then. No,
this is the 90s. Yeah. This is like 1992.
No. Yeah, no, sounds like just a budget gig.
Yeah, I don't I don't even think we could drive yet. You could drive. I couldn't.
I could.
And they would pay us cash sometimes, like just at the end of the night, they just pay us out cash, and we'd go sleep for a few hours, go find somebody to boot for us, and then we were like rich for it. Because you made okay money.
Yeah.
You worked 15 hours straight, right?
Yeah.
Remember the airport?
Oh, what a misery. That was hell.
They'd installed all these windows, right? God. And all the windows had four holes in them that weren't supposed to be there.
What? Yeah.
But they were installed. So our job was to, somebody went ahead of us and they were bondoing them, right? The holes. And our job was to sand them.
Yeah.
And sand them in every room. And then they went and bondoed them again.
So is this a case of like them?
So it's a high rise.
Ordering the wrong windows or just an oversight? No,
we don't know why.
I think it was part of the install process. And yeah, that couldn't have been on purpose. Let me paint the picture though. Is we're in a, it's, I think it's the Marriott in the hotel or Fairmont. At YVR.
Oh, okay.
The Fairmont. It's brand new, just being built, and we're painting all these mullions. So it's probably 10 stories high.
And mullions is window frames, right?
Yeah, the window frame mullions around the glass panes, which are just open, giant glass to the airport facing the sun. And it's middle of August, and we're in a bloody heat wave. It was so hot and so miserable.
And every room looks the same.
Oh,
you have no idea how long you've been doing this for.
It got dungeness.
Everybody was shitty.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That was a long summer.
Ugh. And how many floors? Like,
there's quite a few.
There's 10, like,
yeah, 10 and long, right? There's,
I don't even think I'd be able to get over the height. Yeah. I'd just be dizzy the whole time, probably.
Well, it's, no, you're inside.
Yeah, I know, but still staring down 10 stories, yep, like through glass, right? You're not like standing at a wall where you don't know you're up 10 stories. You're looking down at the world, because I don't even like being in high rises in Vancouver.
To be honest, with paint prep, you're staring at the spot you're working on.
That's true.
That's really what you're doing. And you're just waiting for it to be, and you're feeling it with your hands so that when it gets painted, you can never tell that there was a hole there.
Yeah, but see, that's like saying that those guys that work on the skyscrapers that are on those, like, you know, the, what do you call those?
Scaffolding?
Scaffolding,
in a crane.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yep.
So you're in a crane, you're on top of a friggin' building, and you're way up high. That's like saying, oh, I'm so focused on my work, I don't realize that I'm that high. I think you'd realize.
No, I'd realize.
Like,
that.
I would know exactly how high up I was at all times, and I wouldn't be able to stop myself from looking down and probably puking.
Yeah, no. See,
I'm cool with heights. Just like Megatron.
I'm good with heights, but I don't need to climb up and go into those. No.
Yeah, I guess at a certain height. Yeah. We did the Capilano Suspension Bridge with me, Jeff, and Megatron went. And because we go on the, and before we went, I didn't want to be nervous. I'm like, hey, you know how we go on the ski lifts and stuff? We're up in the air. It's like that. He's like, yeah, I'm cool with it. And he's just walking, no problem. And there's grown-ass men like hanging on to the side, and Chase has got his backpack. He's like, bumps into them, and they're just like,
Well, to be fair though, he's a child, and children don't understand why they need to be afraid yet. So, adults knowing that they can plummet to their death, you know, he doesn't
have that concept. No,
yeah. The old Looney Tunes, if you don't understand gravity, you just walk on.
Right?
Right.
See, and like, as a kid, I used to like scale trees all the time. My mom couldn't keep me out of trees, and she'd get so mad because I would go all the way to the top, and she'd have to yell at me, and I'd be like, no, I'm fine. She's like, no, you could break your neck. And I'm like, in a tree? Probably not, mom. Right? But really, the idea of falling out of the tree had never occurred to me until she told me I could fall out of a tree, and then I didn't want to climb to the top anymore. See?
Yeah.
I had a problem
with
that for a while.
Ruined my sense of adventure.
The kids across the street like to come over to our house. Mm-hmm. And this is over the last 4 or 5 years. And they come across to our yard and start climbing our evergreens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not shitting you. One day I'm sitting in my living room, which is second floor. I'm looking at this evergreen that's outside my window. And the whole top is just waving back and forth. And it's above my two-story house.
Yeah, like, they're
up there.
They're quite a bit taller than your house.
I'm like, yeah, Jesus, that's well, whatever. It's the two boys up the bloody tree higher than my house, and they're swinging on this thing back and forth. I'm like, no, this fear. This is my property. Get off.
No.
I don't need you falling out.
Go
my
do
tree.
That at your own yeah, house. I don't need to be sued.
I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying don't do it here.
Yeah, I don't know. My insurance, I don't know how I'm going to cover this. That kids are stupid. What's this? Jesse wrote something. Stakeout?
About Midas?
Midas Stakeout?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's that
steak?
About?
Okay.
Jess, did you have a good steak?
Was it well done?
Right, it was a medium rare-ish.
Okay,
know,
yeah.
Pretty rare. But I actually had a job at Midas for a short time, and it was actually when I quit the job at Chevron, because my favorite thing I've ever done, and this actually feels amazing, is to tell your boss to go fuck himself and walk out. And I did that at Chevron because I was so...
High five.
Yeah. I got that chance, and I'm glad I took it. However, immediately after, I told my boss, fuck you, I'll see you in hell, you fucking asshole. Right? Oh, no sound. But as soon as I told him that, walked out the door and immediately panicked because I don't have a fucking job now.
Now what?
Right? So
Good feeling gone.
I got home and I got on Craigslist and applied for everything. Things I wasn't qualified for, just every job available, didn't care. Ended up actually getting a job at Midas Brake and Muffler as the parts, or not the parts girl, but like the service counter person, kind of like what I do now.
Yeah. How quickly before you started sleeping away to the middle?
Oh yeah, no, not at that one. No, it didn't have to because there was nowhere to go.
I don't think you had to at Chevron either.
No, really. I really didn't.
You just, yeah,
I made
you just
a choice,
do that,
okay?
Yeah.
So, I made a choice. I made a strategic career move. That's what I did. So at this place, though, I mean, we're talking about in the middle of Wally. And for those of you who don't know, Wally is a part of Surrey, and particularly this area. We're talking 104th and King George.
Eclectic.
Yeah, it's part of BC in the lower mainland for our Indian listeners.
Right. So it is one of the more... how would you say it? Scummier parts of town.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of good people there, I'm sure, but there's also a lot of sketchy ass characters.
Junkies
there.
Junkies and homeless.
You know,
and
so
with problems.
Yeah. So when I got the job there, it's pretty far from where I live, but I'd get there every morning and I'd be there first. Usually I had the key and it was my job to open up the shop. So I'd get there and I'd like normally almost daily have to step over homeless people or drug addict people, the hookers sometimes. I'd have to shoo them out of the doorway to get in.
They're sleeping their way to the bottom.
Yeah, so there's... Right?
If you're
so,
out of
so this place was like usually like... But this is just sometimes, right? Then it's usually they'd huddle in and around the doorways and like the bays.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we opened up shop, they'd all leave. So this one morning I get to work and I open the doors and there's a lot of people hanging out in the parking lot. Yeah. Like a lot of random people, it seems. And they're not going anywhere. So as we started opening up shop and whatever, I guess my manager at the time had a friend coming from that he hadn't seen in a while. So he had an appointment there.
Yeah.
Shows up. He's this really big guy who apparently, like, because my manager told me he was like into a bunch of trouble.
So his friend's a really big guy.
Yeah, his friend's a really big guy. He's like a 200-pound big
enforcer.
Guy. Really,
well, I'm 200 pounds.
Really loud. Really, really friendly.
Not particularly.
But one
good.
Of those really loud, just giant, big personalities, right? Yeah. He comes in. He's talking to a storm. Oh, buy everybody lunch and do all this stuff. He's got this big dually truck, and he brings it in, and it's up on the lift now, right? And he's... So they go out for lunch, bring back lunch for everybody else, and he's sitting in the thing talking to me mostly. And as I'm looking outside, I'm like, why aren't these people going anywhere? There's a lot of people here, right? Yeah. Like just random hang,
yeah,
like look like sort of homeless people, or just random people walking through our lot. And it's not a place where it's convenient to walk through.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I kind of noticed it, but it didn't really put much thought into it. Because there's usually a lot of people in Surrey walking around aimlessly like zombies. But these ones seem to be just like particularly hanging out here. I knew because I'd seen the same guy walk by and look inside like three times.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's weird. Yeah. Maybe he's waiting for a car, but I didn't see him and I would have checked him in, so I would know. So my manager had told me about this guy's past I guess he'd been in some trouble with the law mm-hmm. before, yeah, but yeah. he'd made it sound like this was a past thing.
Well,
and then
last weekend was the past. Yeah.
And then a couple of these guys come running at the door all at the same time, and they got guns, and they're cops. All these people that were hanging out in the lot were cops. This was a sting operation. I should have wrote sting operation. Not so, so they came running in, drew their fucking guns, and go get on the ground. And he jumps out of his chair. I've never seen a big man like that move so goddamn fast, and tried to book it out the back door. But what he didn't realize is there is no fucking back door.
So there's a back room.
So he just trapped himself in the office and tried to shut himself in there. But one of the cops got his foot in there. Yeah. They took like four cops to wrestle him to the ground. They knew he couldn't get in his truck and go anywhere because it's up on the lift. Right. So they were waiting for this. They like to, for their moment where he was sitting there and his guard was down.
Yeah.
And I was just standing there in the middle of this. I got pushed out of the way. They're like, out of the way. And I'm like, holy fuck. And so they're arresting the guy. And then like all the like cops cars all come pulling in and like a whole bunch of them. And then they were asking me like, what was he talking about? And blah, blah, blah. So I had a cop interviewing me about what he was talking about. I'm like, well, he was just chatting with his friend, like about random shit. Nothing suspicious. I don't fucking know. Like, I'm just like, and they're like, okay, you know, no big deal. You know, you just go back to business. While they've still got the guy cuffed and sitting in the place, right? So he's right in front of me. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to go back to business? Because any customers we're going to have are going to be pretty put off by the number of cops that are here right now.
Yeah, not in Wally. Right? It happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm just going to drop off my car where all these cops are. So then they don't just stop there. But then they bring his wife. Or no, his wife showed up because she found out what was going on. My manager called her to say, hey, man, this guy's just gotten arrested. You need to get down here. She shows up and she's as white trashy as they come, screaming and hooting and hollering at the top of her lungs in all her designer clothes. And they arrested her too.
Oh, shit.
So then they grab her, throw her on the ground. They're like, this is you? Oh, yeah, you're under arrest, too, because you're
we got a warrant for
this.
You as well. Yeah, so thanks.
They're like, thanks for showing up. We were going to come get you. But yeah. And then she's like standing next to me. So they've got her cuffed. They've hauled him out to the car. They've got her standing directly next to me. That's where they decided to put her. While she continued to sit there and tell me all these fucking pigs. You can't fucking believe this shit. Spitting at them.
So you're
and stuff.
A deputy now.
And I'm just standing next to her. Eventually, I'm just like, I have to go do something in the shop. Really? I just went to the shop. I'm like, oh my fucking God.
We should close, guys.
Yeah. So, I said to my manager, I'm like, so can I go home early today? Yeah. I'm not feeling very well. He's like, yeah, just go. I'm like,
it's a write-off.
That's a fun day at a shitty job.
Yeah, man, it was messed up.
Brad, you've got one here called a story on the list here called missing porn.
Yeah.
Are you missing it like you miss it? Because I'm pretty sure you don't. You have a phone.
So this is from when Brad was a fluffer?
Yeah. I missed out on my true calling. No, this is actually at my current company. We got a shipment one day into our shipping receiving of a fairly large box of DVDs. And these DVDs were porn. So the shippers received it and signed off on
it. Oh, I bet they did.
Whatever. It sat around for a while. And nobody really claimed it. It was kind of just a mystery and nobody called for it. So the porn disappeared, right?
Yeah, as it would.
It disappeared.
Well, about 2 months later, it gets tracked back that those were all original porns that they were being sent out for mass production. They were originals. So we got served with papers for signing for these missing porn that were worth whatever a piece because they were original pieces.
Like master copies.
Right, exactly. And so we actually had to shake down our staff to
how was that meeting?
Find out where all the porn, and it showed up.
All of them?
Actually, as far as I know, everything.
So you never actually
back.
Found out who it was?
No.
Someone
no,
just,
I never knew.
Someone
just
brought
just
it back sneaky like.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's how they post it. They're like, we don't care.
We were going to throw it out.
We just don't want to be sued by Vivid for $1 million.
This is a bigger deal than you think.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, they spent hundreds of dollars hiring these girls to do these horrible things.
Exactly.
But they're going to make billions off of these videos.
Yeah.
Who watches porn in videos anymore?
Right. I think some people still do. People that don't understand the internet and how free porn is now.
Right.
I'm gonna revert back to Burger King again because I really liked working there.
I could
do whatever.
You miss it.
You know why I left, right? Because I quit college and they offered to promote me and I'm like, I quit. Yeah. That conversation did not go the way they wanted it to. I'm like, no, I can't sink in anymore. I need to go get a real job. But no, there was, you know what? I really liked the people I worked with. I had a lot of fun. I worked night shift there. We just partied. I made a cave. Okay, so they got boxes for the cups and the plates and the whatever, all the takeout stuff. In the back storage room, they've got... Now, remember, we would smoke in the break room. That was kind of acceptable. The boss smoked in his office. This is, it's a different time.
A few years ago.
A different time. So, but, we could only smoke on our break, right? And so I went into the back room, and they've got all the boxes of cups and plates and this and that and shit. So I arranged them so that there is a... cave. I made a clubhouse in the back room and it had an ashtray and like had some stuff. So did you know one of those chicken sandwiches from Burger King fits right into a large cup? So I'd make myself a chicken burger, put it in the cup, and because you could have free pop, all the pop you could drink, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rotted my teeth out, had tons of cavities when I worked there. And then I went into the back there and I would like eat my sandwich, right? Like have a cigarette. That wasn't the story I was going to get to. I was just reminiscing, getting nostalgic. Me and Chris from whatever episode he was in, we worked there together and we were big personalities to begin with. We're flirting with all the girls. We're having a lot of fun, but we're also good workers. We get shit done. So we can get away with stuff because there's a lot of less than good workers who aren't causing trouble. So we invented a game. It started off when we'd walk by the sandwich board and girls were making sandwiches, would put like a piece of food down their shirt, back or front or whatever, right? And then you'd tell the other guy about it.
That's harassment, bro.
We'd also smack him in the HR. Ass sometimes. Oh, it was a different time, Snowflake. Anyway, so we'd walk by, and then so we started I'd say, yeah, I got Stephanie on. I got Char, and I got it down the cleavage. You know what? I got lettuce down the back of their shirt into their underwear because the shirts were tucked in. So we went into the boys' bathroom because it was just me and him and the management, and we did a scoreboard. Tomatoes were worth a certain amount of points. Cheese is worth a certain amount of points. Lettuce, because lettuce is bad. A handful of shredded lettuce, that's hard to get out of your clothes, right? Oh, and yeah. You've got to tuck your shirt in. So we would, we would start keeping score. One of the managers, and it would say, we wrote it down. I think we wrote rules down.
This is an HR nightmare.
Yes, it is.
And one day the manager comes up and goes, what's with the scoreboard in the bathroom? I'm like, it's nothing. Me and Chris are playing a game. He goes, there's food items, and then there's tallies underneath. What's the game? Now, I'm an idiot. I'm like, well, what we do is we put food down, girl, and the harder it is to clean up, tomatoes are good because they're a mess, right? And he's like, you know what? They wanted to I think I remember arguing about even just taking the scoreboard down. They're like, you can't do this. It's going to end. I'm like, no, we're going to keep doing this. No, we got to take the scoreboard. No. How will we know who's winning? back in the day when, that was a scoreboard.
Yeah, back when things were better. You know what? I actually went to an interview at, what the fuck is that place called? And I'm going to call it by name because they should be stopped. I think they have been. Sammy J. Peppers.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one. I actually went at this, I think it was actually right when I got back from Manning Park. So I was 18 years old. And I was doing that thing where you used to do, remember, printing resumes and walking around or taking the bus or going places or getting someone to drive you or driving and dropping off resumes to people.
Can you imagine a millennial doing that?
I know, right? Thing of the past. But I printed off 20 or 30 resumes. And I think my mom actually drove me around because I didn't have a car. And I dropped them off at places. And usually if you do that, you get to talk to a manager right away. They'll sit you down and, go over your whatever.
Have a nice hello.
Yeah, you know, but now you can't do that because you have to do it all through the computer and they have no idea how charming you can be or if you're wearing a thong or not, because apparently at Sammy J. Pepper's, I went there and they have what they call the interview table. And the reason that it's the interview table is because it's visible to the whole kitchen. So when they bring in a girl looking for a waiting job or a hostess job, and she sits there, they all vote on whether or not she's hot enough to work there. So
yes.
I didn't get voted for.
Really?
So fuck Sammy J. Peppers and fuck all you assholes who work there. And I mean that
Jessica
from the bottom of my heart. Fuck all of you.
I really
didn't get voted for.
Jess,
so I never got...
I'm surprised. So you were thin and tall.
And this is not just like me now. This is when I was 18, when I was even thinner. Oh. And cuter.
She talked. She talked. Oh. That was what it was.
No, see, but see? From where they're standing in the kitchen, they don't know that. I had no choice but to talk. It was an interview, you see. And in an interview, I actually was even cuter and nicer than I usually am. So I had a big smile on my face, which is, you know.
Yeah, you're charming.
Yeah. But I wasn't dressed like a whore because I was going to all kinds of places for job interviews. So I was dressed nicely. Right?
That was your mistake.
That was my big mistake, is apparently not having a thong hanging out of the back of my pants, which, you know, when you're looking for a job, I was always told not to do. It turns out it's the opposite. So, yeah, I got voted against. And I've actually found that out. And I don't know why she told me this, but a girl that I know that works there, she's dumb as a fucking post. But she goes, oh, I work at Sammy J. Pepper's. I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of interviewed there once, but they never called me back. She's like, oh, that's because the kitchen voted against you. I'm like, huh? And that's when she told me that this is what they do. I'm like, why the fuck would you tell me that? Take me down a notch. I wanted to punch her in the face, but I didn't. Should have.
Just cried and ate ice cream instead.
I like to think about, like, keep a tally of all the times I should have punched people in the face. It would just take up a whole wall.
You're attractive enough to sexually harass. I would just want to come out and say that,
right? Thank you.
I mean, you were. You were.
I was. I was 18 once, right? So
you got new glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Coach.
Like a month ago. Yeah, they sure are.
Fuck. Swanky. Lottie freaking duh.
Things cost me like $600. They better be nice.
Fuck. Yeah, yeah, glasses.
Not because they're Coach, but because my because they're so fucking thick. Because
you're nearly blind.
The frames were actually only like $100, so I'm just blind as a bat. So
no, I used to spend good money on the good lenses too. It makes a huge difference.
Oh yeah.
And then I spent good money on the laser eye thing, and I can see underwater.
Yeah, rub it in. I can't get that.
Beautiful. You know, I wake up in the morning.
Go
and
fuck
see the
you
ceiling.
And your non-stigmatism.
slight stigmatism, not enough to make an effect.
Psh. You're so great, Trevor.
I'm all right. I got fans. I don't have a fan club, but I've got people who listen to my podcast. Or they used to. I don't know. My numbers dropped slightly recently, guys. I like to think it's the holidays. I look at the numbers week by week. That's what I judge it on. And I don't want to say what the numbers are, because to me, I'm really excited about them. But if you are in the podcasting game, they're not exciting at all.
They're like way up there.
I love both of my fans.
They're
I love
they're way up there in the fives. It's amazing.
And recently it dropped down, and I'm hoping that is just because of the holidays, right? Loss of content. Mm-hmm. I need to market this. I can't talk about Burger King anymore.
No.
You guys got anything else you want to bring to the table?
Not immediately.
I guess, you know what? This is a good enough time to wrap this up.
This has been fun.
It's been a blast. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Yeah.
You know, big round
thanks
of applause.
For having us
some
again.
Energy. Woo! Yes!
Yeah!
Yay, our studio audience!
Yay!
So, I guess I'll take this opportunity to remind everybody.
Very enthusiastic audience.
That's such a weak applause button
really
I have there. I really need to
work on it. I liked ours better.
I guess I'll take this opportunity to just remind everybody that they can download Stitcher and download this podcast and listen to it at their convenience, at least 10 episodes at a time. And all of the episodes are free at ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com. All 23. This might be the 23rd episode.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And we're going to keep making them. Again, goal is 100, and then I'll reassess this whole thing. check us out on Facebook. Like us, become friends. I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. And thanks, everybody, for coming in. See you all next week.
Tastes good. Home, 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 home. Monday morning, I got laid on, so I celebrated with some alcohol.
Oh, you guys aren't listening to the song.
Standing in the unemployment line, I see this young girl's bush and said it's breakfast time.
Security guard said you can't do that here. So I kicked him in the nuts. No one drank a beer. Girl at the counter said, do you want a job? And I said, okay. And then I ate a pussy. And eat a pussy. And kick an ass.
Redneck shit's still my favorite.